Good evening. You're listening to 42 Minutes, a production of SyncBook Radio and thesyncbook.com, a weekly conversation with the interesting artists and thinkers of our day. I am Will Morgan, and as always, I'm joined in the balcony by Douglas Bowles. Today is May 14th, and this is episode number 84. How are you doing tonight, Doug?
Very nice, Will. Thank you. And for today's program, we ask that you set your minds to open and synchronize with Andras Jones, co-host and co-creator of SyncBook Radio's newest program, Synchronize, which can be found at thesyncbook.com/synchronize. Mr. Jones, actor, author, musician, and mystic, is most known for creating, developing, and hosting Radio 8 Ball, the pop oracle, which has been answering questions by picking songs at random since 1998. Currently, Radio 8 Ball is being utilized as a delightful segment within the Synchronize broadcast. It is also at the center of an Indiegogo campaign seeking funding to update and bring back to functionality the Radio 8 Ball website. One can obtain more information about the campaign and the project currently by visiting the Radio 8 Ball Facebook page at facebook.com/radio8ball. And that's the numeral 8 in the URL. Andras contributed a chapter to the first Sync book in 2011 and had the honor of publishing the first title on the newly created Sync book press imprint last year, Accidental Initiations in the Kabbalistic Tree of Olympia. It's always a pleasure, Andras. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks a lot, Doug. And, well, it's great to be back on 42 Minutes.
Man, so excited about Synchronize, man. So excited. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's just I'm a big fan of Alan Abadesa Green.
Did we lose Will?
No, I think it's still there.
You don't hear me, Doug?
Sorry.
As I was saying, I'm a big fan of Alan Abadesa Green's, and I'm a fan of him as a person and as a writer, and he was a lot of help with my book, Accidental Initiations. But I'm also a big fan of him on the Sync podcasts that I've heard. He just has a real talent for being able to synthesize a lot of different thoughts. He's really aware of what everyone's written or posted, it seems like. So even when he's a guest on a show where there are four or five people, I always noticed that he would naturally fall into the role of host and was really elegant about guiding the conversation from one person to another and being able to create that bridge. And so I've been encouraging him to host his own podcast. And so during one of these conversations, we came up with the idea of Synchronize, this audio magazine that's fun for me because Radio 8 Ball is a show that just sort of spins out. There's no way to edit it. There's no, you know, you ask a question, you pick a song, you talk about it, and everything's on the fly, and you can't go back and fix things.
Right.
You can't get it right. And with Synchronize, we're really producing this magazine, this audio magazine, and in this, we, other than the Radio 8 Ball segment, which still does just sort of flow out on its own, the rest of the show, we are able to really produce it and make sort of a highly structured product that's exploring all this this exploration that isn't maybe that is really not very structured. So I always like finding really strong structures to then fill up with the mystery and the exploration. I think, in fact, that helps. You know, the more structured something is, the easier it is to play within those boundaries and allow Sync to express itself. And we've already had that happen a bunch with just the two podcasts we've already posted where crazy synchronicities were happening about the show that we were doing while we were doing it. And then beyond. So it's a lot of fun, and it was a blast making your bumper for the 42 minutes. I think it's the one that I'm most proud of so far.
You guys are hilarious. Waldorf and Statler bumper. Yeah.
You guys were hilarious, the both of you. It was great.
Yeah.
Every time I listened to it, it made me smile. And that's like, I think that's the other thing that I've been enjoying about producing Synchronize is that while we're exploring dark or deep terrain, it seems like there are a lot of opportunities in the show for there to be some lightness and some light and some laughter, which is a lot of fun.
That's actually a comment that I would make, that because of the structure, certain elements actually give the piece a breath, you know, and so you like, especially when the Radio 8 Ball song comes up, it's just a really nice step away from the conversation, but then it integrate the conversation at the same time. So I've appreciated both moments when the Radio 8 Ball song comes on.
Yeah, I've never done Radio 8 Ball as a single segment, as a part of a larger show, but I've always thought that it would be really strong like that, as just a standalone part. And like you say, this moment to take a breather, but not necessarily to take a breather and step away, but take a breather and step even more deeply into the synchronicities happening around a show. So yeah, I enjoy it a lot too. And I can't wait to do more. We've only done two and both. Actually, we've recorded three Radio 8 Ball segments because we have another one that we did with Michael Schock that is coming up in a future episode.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
And they've all been incredible answers.
Michael Schock from Gosporn.
From Gosporn and the Sync Book 1.
Right.
The ridiculous thing to me is how seemingly the guest is asking my question on some level. And then so I'm listening like selfishly because I need to know what it all means.
Oh, well, you're the perfect Radio 8 Ball listener, because that's how I encourage everyone to listen. And I think that's why I like doing this for Sync Heads, because I think we naturally listen with that sort of narcissistic selfishness that makes it sound bad, but I mean it as a good thing. When we listen hungrily and see ourselves in everything we're paying attention to, it makes you, it makes you the ideal audience for Radio 8 Ball, that's for sure.
Of course the synchronicity has to do with you, otherwise you'd have nothing to do with it.
Why are you tweeting instead of interviewing me on 42 Minutes?
Right.
So do you guys have any whimsical notions of where you'd like it to go, or like the kind of guest you'd like to get?
We've talked a lot about it, and there are so many interesting people to explore and great minds within this community, and then interesting topics outside of it. I mean, a natural thing is like the films that I've worked on with Will. Some of you may have talked about them on previous shows. But the idea of being able to do a sync film and then bring in the actor to have the experience with it, I think that's kind of endless in terms of what we can explore. But at the same time, one of the big pieces that I've been not really fighting for, but really I have a strong belief in, is that if we just pick the guests and allow, and then include the Radio 8 Ball and allow synchronicity to happen, the shows will kind of dictate for themselves. Like when we did the first one, which was happening around the time of the Boston Marathon bombing, there were synchronicities emerging through our podcast that were crazy and insightful and completely unplannable. It's like with the Radio 8 Ball segments, with both of the ones that are out there. Well, I love that both of the answers are answers that are clearly ones that are uncomfortable and that we wouldn't have rigged. You know, with the Boston Marathon one, we had Alex Robinson asking about intimacy and softness, and she got this, like, you know, crotch in your face Jay Giles song about this house party. And then when Ray Don Chong asked her question, that she got Slave. One of the things that I was worried about with the produced show was how does the audience still believe that Radio 8 Ball, that the answers are true, if they're not happening right in front of them? And I think the Radio 8 Ball answered that wonderfully by picking songs that there's no way that anyone would pick. You know, if you were trying to pick the best answer, both of them were not. Yeah, but they ended up being the best answer, but they're not, like, if you were trying to think of the best entertainment answer for either of those their questions, it wouldn't have been those.
Man, Ray Dawn is such a good sport. She handled that. It was a good interview. It was and, you know, because she's not necessarily inside the sink, and it's cool too because I've heard that one of her new movies directly involves synchronicity. I think that's kind of interesting too. But
well, she's a deeply synchronistic person. She was I think probably the first celebrity, like real celebrity guest we had on Radio 8 Ball. She's a profoundly spiritual person and a very confident artist. Like when you say she was a good sport, I would imagine that she wasn't feeling like she was being a good sport. She was just having fun playing with synchronicity and being very confident that it was safe, you know.
Did her Indiegogo campaign end today?
It did end today, and I wonder.
I wonder if people could still donate to that if they so.
By the time this is out, probably it'll be too late. And so, you should support her by supporting the Radio 8 Ball's Indiegogo campaign, which you can find at radio8ball.com. Since the website's down, at radio8ball.com, it just redirects to the Indiegogo campaign. But she's people can check out her the podcast. At SyncBook.
The reason why I bring that up is because the show that she wants to produce is very spiritual in nature, that she's going to be like the spiritual force, you know, instead of like a cop drama or ambulance, you know, emergency room drama. You've got a spiritual center to the thing that is, you know, the story arcs or the crises and emotional moments in these people's lives, but the stable thing at the center is the celebrant. So it's a fascinating idea. I hope it worked out.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at it right now. Well, actually, there's 4 hours to go, and she has raised $16,270 towards her $25,000 goal, which is great.
That is.
So. Good luck to her. But even that, I mean, it's great about Indiegogo is that she gets to keep it all. So at the very least, she's raised 16 grand towards making her pilot. Which
I had no idea that was the case. So Kickstarter is an all or nothing, and Indiegogo is cool.
Is you keep what you keep what you make. I mean, I think you can do it as one where it's all or nothing. But I think that's the charm of Indiegogo over Kickstarter.
Speaking of which, I mean, you're involved in your own Indiegogo campaign for Radio 8 Ball.
Yeah, yeah. The website is a great resource. We have hours and hours and hours of podcasts on it, and the online oracle where you can ask a question and get a song at random, and information about the show, and, you know, an interface, you know, a blog. And it's always been free, and it's always something that I've tried to make available, but it's out of date, and I need to get it fixed. And I know that's not the most glamorous campaign. Like, I'm not making a watch that brushes your teeth or something like that. But I'm also not asking for a lot of money. I'm just trying to raise $3,000 to get it fixed and back up and working. And actually, it's kind of been kind of fun. Just, I don't know, selling yourself is never that much fun, but just the crowdfunding, the running a campaign, posting updates from the history of the show, if you're just a, even if you're just a fan of Radio 8 Ball and you just like kick down a buck or two, you should sign. I'd love it if people signed up to follow the Indiegogo campaign. That's free, and posted it to their friends and explore the synchronicity. The show is called Radio 8 Ball, obviously, and our cheapest donation, you can do whatever you want, but the cheapest one is $8, which is an investment in synchronicity. The prize you get is synchronicity. And I'd love to see how many people I can get to just give $8, even if they don't, you know, because they like synchronicity, because $8 isn't that much. And the phenomenon of spending the next month trying to get people to pay $8 is kind of inspiring to me in a weird, synky way. Everyone should do it. $8. It's magic.
Right. I actually became kind of obsessed with old school Radio 8 Ball recordings from back when you were on the radio station up in, I think it was Chaos, up in Olympia.
Yeah.
So those aren't available anymore because of the website being down?
Yeah. Those are all those are down. And in fact, project is I have a bunch of the shows from Seattle, and the next project is uploading a bunch of the old ones from Chaos.
Because those were kind of, I mean, they were kind of crazy because you never knew what was going to come up. And there were so many different people that you interviewed that it was just like a heroin for me for a while there. I would just kind of go through to see what would happen on the next one.
Well, that's great. If the two of you could just multiply yourselves times, 10,000, I'd have 20,000 awesome listeners.
I know you guys collaborate quite frequently, both you and Will. You made a movie that you ended up presenting to people at the Spooky Convention.
The Spooky Empire, man.
Spooky Empire. Yeah,
our friends at Spooky Empire.
I can't think of, why can't I think her name? Mary.
Rose McGowan.
There we go. Rose McGowan.
I mean, yeah, we've done a bunch of films.
Doug? How dare you? You do not remember the name of Jesus Babies? Come on.
I know I remember Jesus Babies, but I couldn't remember Rose McGowan's name. So I'm sorry. But do you think she's the type of person? I mean, it would be fascinating to present the film to her, interview with her, and then do Radio 8 Ball with her. Do you think that's the kind of guest that you'd like to get? And
That's exactly the kind of thing I'd like to be able to do on Synchronize. To bring the directing talents together with whatever it is that the filmmakers who make sync films do. I don't know if you call it directing or it's a different kind of
filmmaking. It's almost like Will reads their cards on some level. Like he appears, but then what came out of the Radon Chong interview that's so interesting is like this psychic fingerprint that she can't help but put this fiery fingerprint on everything, and I've really been thinking about that a lot.
Well, I mean, this is like the nature of the beast. As far as I'm concerned, like my experiences with working with Andras has proven that there's some kind of deep, it's very personal. It's like a fingerprint that is on their film career. That has everything in the world to do with that particular actor. And then different actors kind of loop around and touch each other because it was kind of worked out in that synchronized with Radon, how both Andras and she have this fiery air to her. I wonder when Radon's birthday is. Let's see real quick. I mean, because I guarantee you, we're February 28th. And I'm not sure what that zodiac is, but I know Andras is a fire sign Leo. So there's something to it. There's something that has to do with like his personality type that brings all this fire symbolism to him. And the same thing's got to be true for Radon.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's true for
everyone.
Really interesting. Yeah, it's true for it. It's the nature of synchronicity and film. Or recorded or tape, you know, that when you're able to record an actual moment, you can't step out of the flow of karma and synchronicity and, you know, the quantum reality and all these other buzzwords that we have for how everything's connected. And you know, we've only been recording things for on tape for under, you know, for 100 years about.
Right.
And this is a whole, this field of exploration is one of the things I'm most excited about the sync movement and the kind of films that Will makes, is that crossing that event horizon where the art, where the actors start to have reflected back at them the uber picture of what they're doing, is going to change. It's going to change the nature of film as an art form, I believe. And we're at the fledgling stage of, as you know, as Alan said on the Synchronize episode with Ray Don Chong, she was the first actor to our knowledge that has ever seen a sync film of themselves and interacted with the sync filmmaker.
Right.
And that, you know, I orchestrated that feeling that it might be a game changer. And in retrospect, you know, that was before I even knew who Will Morgan was. And now that's the basis of the work that we're doing, the films we're making, is they're very clearly designed to either connect with the actor, or in the case of like actors, you know, I don't know if Will, if it's okay to talk about some of the people we're thinking about doing, but we've talked about doing one for Keith Coogan, who's someone that we connected with synchronistically for totally other reasons, but then following that synchronicity down, realized what an amazing sync film you could make for this guy. If people right. are aware of Keith, he was a child actor, and then he's still an actor, and he also has his own podcast, and he's a really interesting guy. And his grandfather was Jackie Coogan, who was the kid in Charlie Chaplin's The Kid, and who right. the Coogan laws were based on that protected child actors. And so Keith is an actor who's film stuff plays out over multiple generations, which is
right.
really, really interesting.
Yeah, it's really cool because you're dealing with this deep rooted film history vibe to Keith's whole legacy, and the fact that it has to do with somebody so important to the entire film industry, and it's kind of like Jackie was overlooking Keith's career his whole time. And, you know, there's real easy and simple things that have to do with Keith that even Keith noted himself when you had your interview with him on his radio station. You guys started talking about sync, and I mean, the first thing Keith pointed out was the fact that he's in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead and Adventures in Babysitting. And then that's like a red flag sync-wise for me right away. But to me, the babysitting has to do with the kid in Charlie Chaplin. And there's, you know, for instance, I mean, I'm not going to blow our whole load as far as the sync video goes. But, you know, there's the whole situation. If you ever watch the kid with Charlie Chaplin and Jackie Coogan, the kid is taken away from his mom because some car thieves hijack him in the car. His mom goes to the orphanage and puts him in the little orphanage bus that's outside, and then some thieves come along and steal the car with the baby in there unknowingly, which is the same thing that happens in Adventures in Babysitting. His they get into a stolen car and then drive away. So it's real cool because the lineage is there from in multiple ways, but that's just one example. Well, let's see, who else we got? We've already done quite a few videos. I mean, there was the new video that we've done recently with the Jim Carrey that Andras narrated. Of course,
this is the thing I keep thinking about. It's funny you bring up Jim Carrey. I think Jim Carrey would be such a good guest for this type of thing, because it seems like he's open to a lot of things. And I think that if you could get him, like you could reach him, I think that's the problem that I have when I'm trying to find guests, is that there's oftentimes too many handlers between us and this person that would be open to what we're talking about and interested, but it's just, you know, the publicist BS detector goes off and they don't want to have anything to do with synchronicity.
Well, my experience with booking celebrities on Radio 8 Ball, part of it had to do with people that I knew, you know, whether it was like Seth Green or Radon Chong or other people I'd worked with. But a lot of the really good ones came through synchronicity. Like John C. Reilly, Dan Byrne was the musician. He's a friend of mine. Dan worked on Walk Hard, and it just wasn't. And John C. Reilly has a lot of respect for Dan, so we ended up with John C. Reilly.
Oh, wow.
We had Tracy Bonham was on the show. I asked her if she had any celebrity friends. She mentioned Weird Al Yankovic. We reached out to him. Again, he's a fan of hers and a friend of hers, so he was very glad to do it.
Well, that brings up another video we did for Mary Lynn Raskob, the individual that you had playing for you that night, which was Grant Lee Phillips.
Yeah, we did a one in outside of Wisconsin, outside of Madison, outside of Milwaukee, with Grant Lee Phillips, and he was friends with Mary Lynn Raskob, and so that's how she came to it. So a lot of times, again, synchronicity does the casting. But you're right; it is hard to reach out to, you know, to stars. They are well protected.
But it's funny because
from the deep space cowboys like ourselves.
I think Jim Carrey would be really open to it, and I bet you he'd be a great guest. I think it would be a lot of fun.
But he's
he's someone we've reached out to through for Radio 8 Ball, and he is a hard guy to get to.
Yeah.
I believe that. But I do think that, I mean, everything that I've heard from people who are around him is that if we could get to him directly, he would be really into this because it's the kind of thing that he's really into. But he's also into having people who protect him from people like us. So it's that's why it does, you know, all in the end, it really does come down to synchronicity and trusting that the right people will be cast, and also being willing to reach out, you know, if it makes sense. I have an IMDb Pro account. I can get in touch with anybody's agent and anyone's publicist and be told no directly from the person, or yes, you know, with John C. Reilly, his publicist just passed it along. And the next thing I knew, I got an email. I was getting an email from John C. Reilly. I can tell you that was a fun day. and that's when I knew, when I was working, when Jake Coetzee was just starting, he had already done one or two films for us, and knowing that I was going to be able to put Coetzee on the case of John C. Reilly, And of course, the sad thing is that, like many of the best shows we did, for some, like recording them, documenting them, it was really, really difficult. It's like capturing Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster or something. It's been very difficult. And so with that one, we ended up, you know, even though we had an amazing show, the documentation is very shaky. Pictures, some audio, and one bad camera feed. Not sure why it's such a hard show to shoot. It's actually seems very simple, but I think that it's energetically and psychically more complex than even I know.
Well, I just hope that there's some kind of game changer here soon. I know when I read your book, I mean, you're the author of Sync Book Press's Accidental Initiations, I realized how dead on. I mean, I might have spoke out of turn in saying when Alan asked me this question for the first time that it was groundbreaking. But to me, it is. It's very. I mean, there were the Kotze videos before who did for the different stars that were on Radio 8 Ball. But when I read your book and realized the symbolism was so blatant and vibrant, all through your life, all through your recording history, all through your movie career, I mean, it's exciting to me, and I can't wait till we find another individual who that hooks with.
Yeah, and I think they're, well, thank, first of all, not yes, thank you, I appreciate that. I like when it finds purchase in anyone's mind. And at the same time, yeah, I do think that we are on the cusp of some kind of maybe it's a game changer. You know, I hope it's a game changer because the game, because I've been losing at the game I've been for a long time. But I do think it is, even if it's not a game changer for us personally, which I do hope it is, and I intend that it is, but I also think it's real regardless of that, that there, we're not manufacturing this.
No, and it's there. It's there.
Maybe because of my background or whatever, I might be a little bit more attuned to it. So I've sort of been able to wake up to these dynamics in my own life of synchronicity and how being a film artist and a recording artist and just being a person who draws a lot of controversy and drama to them, that I've been able to write that and sing that song. But as we got from Ray Don Chong, I think that anyone who is sensitive, and you imagine that a lot of people who are artists and who are drawn to these mediums are, anyone who's sensitive is already on some level aware of the fact that they keep being drawn to the same kind of roles, same kind of projects. And even if there are different roles and different projects, that certain imagery is showing up all the time. But I think that what's really interesting for me is that, yeah, then I have someone like Will who comes along, and even though I might be really adept at noticing these patterns in my own life, then Will comes along and starts to point out things in the movies that I never saw or would have seen. And it is like Ray Don said, it ends up, like she said, it just made her cry. To me, it sort of leaves me speechless, which is a rare thing, as you probably tell.
That's funny. Well, let's talk a little bit about something that you're something else that you're into as far as the sync world's concerned, and that's syncups. So how would you explain that to someone?
Well, I think that to a lot of people, the only connection they have with sync art is the stoner game of putting Wizard of Oz with Dark Side of the Moon, man.
Yeah, man.
But I think that game is one that, well, it leads to a whole field of research and artistic play, which is taking the sound from one media and putting it with the video from another. And I've been playing with that a lot since I discovered that. And I've had a few experiments that I think were really, really powerful. I've posted the Lifehouse Matrix, which is putting the Who's Lifehouse, a reconstructed version of the Who's Lifehouse, which is the double album that became the single album Who's Next, and put that with the movie The Matrix. And that works incredibly well. The thing about syncups is that they all work well because our minds are great at drawing connections, but some work incredibly well. And when they do, it's undeniable. And I think Lifehouse Matrix is an example of that. The Rosemary's White album, which David Plate is sort of hipped everyone to, but I've had a lot of fun playing with that. And we've even talked about doing a project about that. Those are the two that are the most astounding for me so far. That, and then there's one that's really fun that I did that that was taken down off YouTube really quick. But I took Full Metal Jacket and then the audio from Stripes. And if you start, and if you put start it from the end, so that you end up, so Full Metal Jacket's longer, so you have the first maybe like 8 or 9 minutes, maybe 11 minutes of Full Metal Jacket, and then Stripes starts, and it's seamless. And there are moments in it that are so, like the scene where Vince D'Onofrio kills the sergeant.
Yeah.
It happens during the part where Bill Murray is talking about the big toe, the biggest Sergeant Hulka, our biggest, bestest big toe. And it all, it's a scene where the guy with the psycho guy is like, you touch my stuff, I'll kill you. Just the way that they line up so perfectly. And I guess this is the fun of playing with it. I don't know, like, I think it's as much fun to watch, but I have to say that the fun of sync ups really is in finding one and making one and finding one that really works and has these, you know, moment after moment after moment of just transcendent sync up connection that makes you feel like they had to have known when the fun is, like, when you take something like Stripes and Full Metal Jacket, there's no way there's any intention there, but they work so well. In fact, Full Metal Jacket, I think, is a little bit better. It's fun. It's scarier and funnier. Yeah. So yeah, I love doing the sync up stuff. What you did with the Jim Carrey, that's a whole other thing of taking films and running them side by side. Like
I'm sure that there's a bunch more out there like that. I'm sure of it. It doesn't seem to me that there would be one lonesome film like that next to each other. I've been thinking of a few to do as well. I'd like to see what someone else comes up with.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's going to, part of the fun of being at the forefront of this field is that we get access to nobody's done these. Like, the idea that nobody's done Rosemary's Baby and the White Album, once you realize it, or to me, I think Lifehouse Matrix, once you see it, you're sort of like, oh, I can't believe no one ever thought of this. This is, it's so perfect. And, you know, it's sort of like, you know, the Beatles, like, they had access to 4-track tape and guitar amplifiers before everyone else. So they were able to do things that were super obvious that now are theirs. They're Beatles things. Whereas, you know, I can't just lean my guitar up against my amp and get the opening to I Feel Fine. I mean, I will get the opening to I Feel Fine, but it'll be the opening to I Feel Fine. It won't be my sound. And that's what it feels like with this. Like, we're getting to toy with all the big stuff. The people who come after are going to have to find more obscure syncs. And they will. There'll be something, you know, someone who's going to come up with the perfect movie to put with Fleetwood Mac Rumors. I've tried. I thought it might be Thelma and Louise, but I was wrong. It just didn't work. Didn't quite sync. But... I mean, it worked. There was some good stuff, but it wasn't. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't Rosemary's White Album.
Everything syncs, but like you said, some of them are just like breathtaking.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's undeniable. Like, you can't watch the Lifehouse Matrix thing that I created. I mean, you can watch it. It's there. You go watch it now. Right. But you can't watch it and not be kind of blown away by how perfectly it syncs. And in this case, the Wachowski brothers would fully have been aware of the song Bob O'Reilly, you know, that starts Who's Next. And they also would have been aware of this, the Lifehouse project, which was all about alternate reality and people living in experience suits. So it's like that. Like, when you find one that really works, you're able to write the backstory that's sort of like, well, these people were all aware of each other. Probably they didn't do this to be synced up, but at the same time, who knows what awarenesses we have that we aren't aware of, and what guides our art from the subconscious, and the subconscious is everything that we've taken in, and who knows that the Who's Lifehouse didn't on some level subconsciously affect the Matrix, or vice versa, in the sort of quantum time loop kind of way.
Well, they're like
it's fun to think about.
Right. It's fun to it's kind of interesting to try to. I mean, the fun of it is trying to wrap your head around it. I mean, because there is a progression of man and media and machine and how all of that intertwines was handled in the Lifehouse and then handled again in the Matrix at two different periods, but it's basically the same concept. I mean, they resonate, I guess.
Right, yeah. And with Rosemary and Rosemary's Baby is all about motherhood and death and the Dakota. And then you have the Beatles White Album, which is all is about a lot of John Lennon's mom issues are in there, and Yoko has a miscarriage right before the White Album comes out, and obviously Sharon Tate gets murdered when she's pregnant. And so again, once you put all these together, the sync up isn't just that, oh, that song goes well with that image. It's that everything we know about that song and everything about that we know about that image sync up perfectly to amplify what both the song and the image are trying to tell us in a way that transcends the artist's intention, transcends the intention of John Lennon or Roman Polanski. I mean, because why would they make music that would put their, you know, that would kill their kids, basically.
Right.
You know, but at the same time, they're both channeling that energy. And when you put it together, it's potent and terrifying. But of course, it's a scary movie, so it should be terrifying. It's just even more terrifying than they could have, than Polanski could have ever imagined, or Lennon could have ever imagined.
Okay, well, on that, that's 42 Minutes. Thank you. You've been listening to Andres Jones on 42 Minutes, a production of SyncBook Radio on the SyncBook.com. More information about the work of Mr. Jones and Radio 8 Ball can be found at Facebook.com/Radio8Ball or Radio8Ball.com. For more information about the SyncBook, our guest, check out past shows, or to subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, please be sure and visit our website at thesyncbook.com/42minutes. If you like what you hear and would like to support the show, by all means follow the link on the website to the donation page.
Thank you.
And have a wonderful Tuesday.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks, Will.
You bet. Sir. Always a pleasure.